When you find that thing that you're passionate about, when you find your dream, you're going to feel exactly the same way. You just have to find it.
You're listening to the Dare to Be Different podcast. On this special edition, Joe joins Michael Henson on his podcast to talk about his Shark Tank experience. Enjoy.
Well, Joe, thanks for joining me. I'm really, really excited. I'm honored that you have made the time to join me on this podcast. I'm excited to have a conversation with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for allowing me to be here, and thanks for your listeners to give me a few minutes of their time. I'm excited.
For sure. So, obviously, like, you've got so much going on that's super inspiring, super exciting. From, you know, inventing a new product in 100-year-old technology industry to being on the Shark Tank just recently. That episode aired, which is pretty incredible. And just a lot of cool changes going on, I would imagine.
Yeah, it has been quite the ride for sure. That's, you know, both, you know, of course, recently has been incredible, you know, all the Shark Tank notoriety, partnering with Lori Grenier, all of that stuff. But, you know, for the past several years, from, you know, taking an invention that I came up with in my garage to a successful business has been quite a journey as well, for sure.
Certainly, certainly. That's kind of where I'd like to start. Just what does that look like? How did that journey get going? And what were some of the milestones that led you to this point?
So first of all, for your listeners that don't know, I invented a window screen, a new type of window screen. So that's, first of all, not exactly a sexy industry. You know, it's not a lot of passion behind window screens. And so I'm a window guy. So I've been in the window industry for around 20 years. And I was an independent sales rep. So I sold pieces and parts to window manufacturers. And one of the things that I sold were window screens. So, and if you can imagine, you know, traditional aluminum window screens that most people have on their house, they get damaged really, really easily. And as a sales guy selling window screens to window companies, that was a big problem. So about 8 years ago now, I started just messing around in my garage trying to come up with a product that wouldn't get damaged as easily. And luckily, I was in the industry. So when I came out of my garage with what I now call my bubblegum and duct tape prototype, you know, I showed it off to some people that were in the industry, and they had this, you know, build it and we will come sort of mentality around our product, which was, you know, fantastic. You know, there's nothing like having a great invention and having no way of getting it into the industry. So I was just very fortunate that I invented something that was in my industry. And so, you know, got some investors together, and there's lots of stories of how that all happened. But we started producing almost 6 years ago, and now we have 4 manufacturing plants and fifth one on the way, and doing millions and millions of dollars of sales. And now we were on Shark Tank, and we have Lori Grenier as a partner. So it's pretty cool for sure.
That is absolutely incredible. I think for me, that's the non-sexiness of it all is the beauty of it, because we get so hung up, especially like in the entrepreneur world, we get hung up on like, it does this like just pump people up right off
right.
the bat.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. And there's so much opportunity. If we'll just dive in and go for something that we know, whether or not it's quote unquote the sexiest thing in the world.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So this is just recently, it just happened. We got nominated for an Edison Award. So this is, you know, the family of Thomas Edison started a grant, and they have this huge award that people that are very famous have won this, and it's mainly for inventions that make humanity better, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so we won a award. We're just not sure if we won the big award, and we'll find out here in the next couple of weeks. But you know, Steve Jobs won it in like 2014. what's his name from Tesla? I'm like drawing a blank here in the middle of a podcast.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk won it in 2016, and here we might win it for a window screen in 2020. It's ridiculous, you know. It is the most boring thing. It's not an iPhone. It's not a self-driving car. It's a window screen. But you know, trying to put passion behind something that doesn't seem sexy from the outside, doesn't seem intriguing from the outside, that's an internal thing that as an entrepreneur, as an inventor, as whatever, you have to do. There's amazing products that people have made a ton of money and have, taken care of their families and all that stuff off of inventions that, or businesses that just aren't, they're not, something you want to shout from the rooftops necessarily, but they have a passion for it and they've been successful through that passion. So.
Yeah. And that it kind of leads us in where I was wanting to go, that internal struggle or the internal inner workings that you've worked through to put all this together. And that does add a layer that I hadn't actually considered. The fact that, developing that passion or driving that passion, creating it is something that you've had to do. I'd love to get a little insight. What's that look like for you?
Well, first of all, I'm one of the world's only screen geeks. So I do, just because of my background and being in the window industry and being part of that industry for a long time, I walk into a mall and you'll see the window displays. You know, some remodeling company is showing off their window, and I'll pull my wife over. Let's look at their screen, and she thinks I'm absolutely ridiculous. some of that is, my personal personality. I throw everything that I have into whatever I'm doing at the time. And again, I think that there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are like that, or typically you probably wouldn't be an entrepreneur. You probably wouldn't be doing something on your own if you didn't have that innate ability to throw yourself into that project. But the toughest part for me has been, when things go wrong, when things are tough, we did a couple $100,000 our first year in business. We had millions of dollars wrapped up into it. And I had made promises to investors based off of, and these are good promises. I wasn't speculating. I had commitment letters from customers and all those types of things. And it just took a lot longer than we had anticipated. So, keeping that passion alive is difficult. It really, really is. And it's a, it's a daily thing where you have to get up and go, I'm going to do it anyway. Even though it looks tough, I'm going to do it anyway. For most business leaders, the ability to quit and go do something else is always right there, because they're driven people. They can find passion in what they're doing. They're typically competent as well. So, I could go out and get a job making more than I make today without any problem. There's no doubt in my mind I could go find a job. So having that there as your escape route, you have to put that out of your mind, because it's typically there. When you, for me, five, almost 6 years ago, I quit what I was doing. My only income source was the company that I was building. So I at least got rid of that. Some entrepreneurs have the ability to kind of play in both, like, oh, I'll do this as my main source of income and I'll do this on the side. For me, that just wasn't an option. Once we started manufacturing and all those things, number one, I wouldn't have been able to do both just because of my personality. I become very singularly focused. So that would be tough for me to divide my attention, my time, my passion between two things. But it was also just a resource and time thing where I had to throw myself into this and put all of my time and energy into that. And, what I did before wouldn't have tolerated that. So, and I also didn't want to, I wanted to get rid of that. I wanted to get rid of, what was the thing with Hannibal when he was kind of marching across the world? They would move into a new area and they would burn the boats so that his people couldn't go back. And they, it was either, hey, we're going through this land or we're going to die. And a lot of times I felt that way where it was, well, wow, I if I don't keep moving, if I don't keep doing this, you know, I'm going backwards an awful lot to start over. So I don't know if that answers the question or not. Or if it's helpful, but that's kind of where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually, you mentioned Steve Jobs winning that award. I heard or watched a video where he was talking about how creators or inventors and entrepreneurs have to love what they're doing, and they have to kind of be a little bit crazy about it, because you are going to have those downtimes where you've got doubters or naysayers, or life is just kind of beating you up a little bit, and you have to be just in love with it enough and just crazy enough to keep pushing through, even when, like, there's another option or there's an easy out to mm-hmm. just kind of tap the button and get out of it. So that totally makes sense.
Yeah. And I've heard stories of, you know, Colonel Sanders, you know, before Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, going out and he's, you know, in his 50s and 60s, knocking on doors of restaurants, trying to sell his recipe and all of those types of things. And I think that's the difference between, you know, people that do a good job or an adequate job with their company, their invention, whatever, and the companies that do great things. In our industry, you know, we hope to be a company that does great things. Again, it's a window mm-hmm. screen, so we can only do so much with it. But we want to do great things. And my passion, and I'm not boasting here, but my passion is infectious with my staff. There's very few people, and I had mentioned this before, there's very few screen geeks in the world. I probably have 10 of them that work for me. And they're all young people and they're passionate about window screens, they're passionate about what we're doing. And I have people come in here all the time like, why are these people so crazy in love with window screens? I'm like, well, you can't be around me for more than 10 minutes without feeling that and having it exude out of me and onto you at least a little bit. And again, I'm not boasting. That's just how much I love what we're doing.
Yeah, that's incredible. I think that's a massively underlooked or overlooked component of leadership. And I love the fact that, like, that's your passion and that's what you went with, rather than trying to find something that maybe other people think is more exciting or more worthy of that level of passion. It seems like that is part of what has made you successful.
I agree with you. I do think that, what was the movie with Tom Cruise where he talks about the little plastic things on the end of your shoelaces? You know, somebody has to make those. And somebody is a millionaire based off of the little plastic things on the end of your shoelaces. Terribly unsexy, terribly difficult to have passion behind it. But there are people that make that, and that is what they want to do. Everything can't just be exciting. Now, again, the iPhones of the world, the Teslas of the world are so few and far between that. You know, you have to, if you want to open a restaurant, you have to be passionate about this restaurant that you're opening, even though there's a restaurant two doors down. You know, those are, it's a key component, because, you know, people want to be around passionate people. It doesn't matter what you're passionate about. People just like to be around because there's so few people that are passionate about things in their life, which is a shame. But it is the fact of the matter. You know, the great charities of the world, you know, they're led by people that are passionate about the charities or great businesses and things like that. But the average everyday person, if you ask them what they're passionate about, I bet you they would have a hard time articulating a passion of theirs. And so, like I said, to me, that's a shame.
Yeah, certainly. And that's kind of a major component of this podcast. That kind of goes into my story and what has led me to this point is trying to help people reach that point. I had one of the questions I had that I wanted to ask, and I feel like we've kind of already touched on it, is many people that listen to this podcast are at that point where they're looking for something different. They're in a situation that maybe isn't ideal, mm-hmm. and they're looking for the opportunity to change it in some way, whether it's personal growth and picking something up on the side or completely jumping ship and changing careers. But I think that passion component, the fact that you're living that out and the results that you've had from it, I think that answers my question was going to be, what's your advice to people in that situation?
Yeah. And I do, when people ask me, the typical greeting, how are you doing? How's everything going? And I do the cliche, I'm living the dream. You know, you have that cliche. Yeah, yeah. But to me, it's real. That's an actual response, truthful response to how I'm doing every single day. And I people ask me all the time, like, how can you be this way about be so positive about the things that are happening in your life? I'm like, well, when you find that thing that you're passionate about, when you find your dream, you're going to feel exactly the same way. You just have to find it. You just have to figure that out. And that could be anything from, I've seen franchise owners of, the Subway restaurant down the street. They love what they're doing. There's a new, I don't know if you've ever had Tropical Smoothie. It's one of those smoothie restaurants. It's a franchise. The people that opened up the one up the street from us love it. They're in there dancing and their staff is having a good time. And that's passion. They didn't invent Tropical Smoothie. They didn't, they're just running that division or that franchise and they love it. And to me, that's one of the keys of life. Whatever you're doing, whether you're working for someone or doing something, doing a side hustle or jumping ship and doing something on your own, as long as you love it, it's not a chore. It's not a lot of work. I work killer hours. I average 6 days a week, 10 to 12 hours a day. And, when that starts wearing on me, I know that, I need to pare back a little bit and so that I get that passion back and that dream. But that dream is what drives me to do that though. And, it never really seems like work, even with those long hours. So.
Yeah. That makes total sense. I think that is such a massively overlooked component of life. Your Tropical Smoothie franchise owners reminded me, I taught at a private high school for a couple of years, and we had this convention we'd go to in the spring each year. And the tradition was we always stopped at a Wendy's. Okay. There was this one Wendy's right on the way. We were going out to the country, and there's like Wendy's was the last civilization. And every time we went there, the manager was just on it. And he's walking around talking to the customers and greeting people at the door and cleaning up messes and just like on top of the world, managing this Wendy's. Mm-hmm. And then, 50 people come in from a bus, and he's just greeting us at the door and he's all ready for us. He knew we were coming and all this stuff. It makes a difference. It makes a huge difference. I think for some reason, people just tend to let maybe it's society or insecurity or something keep them from either hunting out that passion, something they can be passionate about, or if they know what it is, there's something that holds them back from fully engaging in it.
Yeah. And isn't it a shame? I mean, first of all, that Wendy's manager, this is just one of those business lessons. I bet you his turnover rate is so much lower than everybody else's, for their employees and stuff like that. I bet you it's next to nothing because, whether or not he pays well or the hours are long, I bet you his employees want to be there just because he's so positive. That's the first thing that's, just jumped out at me because it's the same thing here. I have a bunch of young people that work for me in my corporate office and, I don't pay them and I hate to say it like this, but I don't pay them what they're worth, just because we're a new company and things like that. Mm-hmm. And we, we have to budget so that we're doing the right things for the shareholders and growth and all that stuff. And I think that they're worth so much more than we pay them. But they're not out looking for jobs for an extra 50 cents an hour or something like that. They like what they're doing, and that's huge. I don't have to worry about them. At least some of them are listening through our studio window right now. I can see their faces as they're trying to figure out what I'm going to say next. But I'm not worried about them going out and looking for another job. I know that they're passionate about this, and they also know that when we can afford it, they're going to cash in and be excited about that. So, and they're all jumping up and raising their hands right now. So I wish you could see it there. The other side of it is, I don't understand people. And I know this is a very broad, broad statement, but I don't understand people that feel locked in to a life that they don't love. And that's just so sad to me. Whether they're in a job that they hate, where they could just go, downsize. Get a smaller house, get a drive around a clunker car, whatever it needs to happen so that you can move out of that situation. We have friends people that are just in our lives. And that's one of the things I say all the time. Like, if you want to do a great thing and you don't think you can make $100,000 a year off of it, settle for 50. Just adjust your life. Do something great, something that you love, because your life is going away. Through this whole process, you're using up your life and you're hating it. And the house isn't your life, the car isn't your life, the vacations aren't your life. It's what is happening on a day-to-day basis. That's your life, and you're just wasting it. So do something you love. So I don't know if that helps anybody. I hope it does. But
oh yeah, definitely. It's a huge concept, and it seems so difficult sometimes for people to really grasp hold of. There's a story, and I won't get into it because it's kind of long. Basically, it's a fisherman on like some coastal village in South America, and he's got this life where he's getting to go fish. He fishes, he gets a couple of fish, he sells them, he has food for his family, and then he spends the rest of the day with his family and with his friends. Mm-hmm. And by comparison, there's like this businessman that comes along and tells him that he needs to do all this investment and he needs to work and grow the business and move to some major city and build this business out, and then he can sell it. And then when he retires, he can move to like a small coastal village and enjoy fishing and enjoy time with his family. it's this long story, and it's like people don't make the connection that You hit the nail on the head when you said, like, life is passing us by moment by moment. And if we're not doing something that's fulfilling right now, like, we're not, like, waiting to retirement, or like the concept of like working for the weekend, mm-hmm. just like missing the point. We like the whole YOLO movement, you only live once, for all these other reasons and all these other crazy things. But we fail to embrace that on our day to day, and we could do exactly what you said: downsize, make life a little simpler, and enjoy the intangibles more so than the trappings.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with working hard and doing all those things. I joke around with my wife. She's like, "What if somebody comes in and buys the company?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I'm sure I'll do something. I'll go be a Walmart greeter." And she's like, "You would never be satisfied being a Walmart greeter. You would be floor manager, and then you'd be but that's just me, and that's what I love. So that is okay to work hard, because that is part of my personality, and I enjoy that. If that's not what you want to do, if you want to catch some fish by the enough to support your family and do all those things, that's perfectly fine too. But just do what is good for you, and find what is good for you, and then chase after it, drive after it. And that, to me, is my children, that's what I tell them. Don't chase after money. It's important to take care of your family, but don't chase after that to the point where you're so unhappy and you're so trapped by it that you can't get out. That's unhealthy.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah, well, powerful thanks. Lessons there, for sure. So you've talked about it a few times, just your work schedule, your drive, how you dive in. And from a kind of switching from deeper philosophical
sure.
Conversation to practical, what is Like, what is it? What does that look like? How do you manage the calendar of running a company, working with, you know, your shareholders, people that are, depending on your business to be successful, and then also balancing like what you want to accomplish from a personal or family perspective as well?
Wow, that's a big question. I'm not sure that I do a fantastic job with it because we are growing so fast. So a couple years ago, it was, you know, just me and a couple other people. Then of course the manufacturing plants have their own teams that, you know, to produce our product. Now today, I rely more and more on the team that's around me, just simply because there's so much work to be done, and delegating has become a huge part of my survival. So now again, depending on where your listeners are at in the life cycle of their company or whatever, mm-hmm. for a long time that wasn't possible. I didn't have the funds to hire people to help me with those things. So, you know, there was a lot more late nights, a lot more lost weekends, you know, things like that to try to keep up with the demand. But now where we are, what I'll call, we're kind of in our medium stage. You know, we're not necessarily a startup anymore where everything relies on me. Now we're able to bring in some staff and things like that. Like I have Nicholas who helped us get hooked up, you know, this mm-hmm. morning on the podcast. He manages my calendar. So, you know, he's doing scheduling, things like that, because it's just, it's got beyond me where I can't, you know, I just simply can't manage all of the moving pieces. You know, we've brought in people to, you know, help with the communications for our social media and all of those types of things, just to make sure that the message of our brand is doing well out there. Again, that was me a couple years ago. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that's the, for us, reinvesting in people has been a priority. Again, I could, if I didn't have those people around me, I could personally be making a lot more money, but we wouldn't be doing as good of a job as a company. So bringing those people in and taking that as a priority to have the resources available to, it was key for us. So again, I think that's one of those traps that entrepreneurs and young companies, you know, they want to pay themselves more, and they do that at the expense of their time and also at the expense of their company. So, mm-hmm. you know, I've done a lot of research of companies that have been successful and companies that have been that have failed, and it seems that, you know, when it comes to the amount of money that's coming in, a lot of the ones that have failed, the entrepreneur tries to take too much, or they're not prioritizing. You know, they're not willing to have the lean years personally, or extend those lean years a year or two to be able to bring in the resources that they need to help manage the company. So again, that's just something that we, you know, both myself and my investors looked at and said, this is, you know, we have to have a sustainable company, not just a profitable one. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that helps. You know, we also, you know, from the family side, you know, making sure that we have, that I say successful with my family, because of course that's important. You know, mm-hmm. no one wants to have a great business and a terrible family life. You know, my wife and I have worked on setting up some boundaries, guardrails, however you want to call it, that just help carve out family time, because the work life balance to me is, there's no such thing. There's no balance. You know, my company, my work is me. So there's no way of saying, hey, there's work Joe or there's home Joe. They're the same person. But we set up some guardrails so that I don't, you know, really mess up my family and my children and all that, and not mess up, but I'm not there for them. So things like Sunday, you know, I don't work on Sunday, and we instituted that years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. Wisely, my wife said, "Hey, you need one day that is ours. You know, we'll put up with you traveling and doing all those things 6 days a week. You could, but Sunday is ours." I go, okay. And if you send me an email on a Sunday, you're not going to get a response. You call my cell phone. you know, I'm not going to answer it. If something is bad enough in the screen industry that you have to get a hold of me on a Sunday, you might want to try somebody else. You know, and then on vacations, you know, we make sure we take at least one or two family vacations a year. And I you know, we set up ways that I can still work on those vacations without interrupting family time, so that, you know, I'm not driving myself crazy, you know, on vacation going, what's happening? Because I'm refusing to work, but also I'm not so into work that I'm not enjoying the family time that is so important to us. So again, I'm not sure if I'm answering your questions, but those are some of the, you know, some of the keys that we've put in, that I've personally put into my life to help manage all of that.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Totally answers the question for sure. I think, yeah, I'm not even going to analyze it because it's all there. Delegation, balance, family time, priorities.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it really is. And it's going to be different for everyone. It's just that simple. You know, some people, you know, their family time is more important, and they, Saturday and Sunday are family time, or whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying that my family time isn't important. I'm just saying that this is how I operate, and it's been successful so far.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. I have a couple questions.
Sure.
That I kind of like to wind this down with.
Sounds good.
First of all is books. I like books and resources, just ongoing, trying to learn and grow and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
What are some recommendations?
You know, I just talked about two of them the other day. One is Good to Great, which is one of my favorites. I don't know if you've ever read that before. There's a book called Fascinate by a woman named Sally Hogshead, which talks about differentiation in the marketplace. You know, so being different is better than being better is her whole thing. You know, having something that is incrementally an improvement over another product isn't as good as a product that is completely different and has something that people, you know, just a way of differentiating. The other one this is kind of an old one, it's called The Greatest Secret in the World. It's by a guy named OG Mandino. It's just a little book, and it has some, you know, daily things that you say out loud and things like that, but they're just good ways of living life that are, and there's a story behind it. It's kind of a fiction story, but it has these truths that walk you through a couple months of these daily, daily couple paragraph sayings that are just, they're just great life lessons. And so those are three that I really like.
Yeah. When I was in high school, my dad actually had me read that book a couple times.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
And I'd forgotten about it. Like you reminded me of it. I'm gonna have to break it out and read it again, because that is a great book. And I think you're the only person I've ever heard besides my dad recommend it.
Yeah,
that's a shame, because it's really, really good.
It is. And I was just talking about it the other day. We were talking about having love, you know, as part of your daily outlook to people, you know, and yeah. one of the things that you repeat in this book is, you know, the very first one is, I'll greet this day with love in my heart. And when you truly have that, man, our world is so miserable sometimes, you know, especially, you know, it gets perpetuated by social media and the ability to blast people anonymously and things like that. And man, when you have this outlook that, man, I'm going to love the people around me no matter what, man, does that change your outlook? It really does. It changes your actions. It changes how you interact with people, and it also changes you inside. So, I definitely strongly suggest that book.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I read it. Like I said, I read it when I was in high school, so I'm a totally different point in my life, totally different outlook. So I'm definitely gonna have to break that one out and check it out again, because I'm sure the lessons I learned from it will be completely different.
Yeah. And then one more. This is actually one that my staff and I are doing. We do on Fridays, we get together and we call it Fight Club, but it's really, we're going through it. We have lunch together and then we go through a chapter in a book, and we're doing 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So that one is a fantastic book, you know, just talking about, you know, being an effective person, but then of course we correlate it back into our business, how we can be an effective team and an effective business. So
very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool. I'm actually working through, I have a commute now, which is weird for me. I've not had one for a while, but, Audible is my new best friend on these like 30-minute commutes.
Oh, it's amazing. I love books on, or audiobooks.
Yeah. I'm going through Jocko Willink's Extreme Ownership right now.
I've heard that's really good. About teams.
It's really, really, really good. I'm like 4 or 5 chapters in. So he's talking a lot about, it's all about teamwork and teams and how his premise is that there are no great leaders without great teams.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, he's speaking at an industry event that I'm trying to go to in the next couple months. I'm trying to rearrange my schedule to be there, but I've seen some of his stuff, and he's a fantastic guy. He really is. Yeah. great speaker, and I'm gonna have to pick up one of his, you know, pick up his book. I've heard it's really good. So you're the
For sure.
third or fourth person that has told me that it was good. So must be the truth.
I mean, I heard enough people talk about it and mention it that I finally was like, well, I'll do this one. Like I listened to David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me, and then that was the next recommendation. And so I'm like, ready to take on the world after David Goggins and Jocko. Like, ready to go break something or
right.
hurt something or something. But awesome. And my one more question.
Sure.
I like to wrap up. Going a little bit deeper again. Mm-hmm. If you have, say you have a room full of people, or even just one person, and you know that you're going to be able to give them a piece of advice that they're going to take and apply to its fullest potential as soon as you give it to them, what would that piece of advice be?
Oh, wow. Well, so I do some speaking events at local high schools and stuff like that, and I talk about the fact that, you know, to do anything, it takes the three D's. There's a dream, a decision, and then discipline. And I think, you know, for me, if I'm giving advice to anyone, it's that middle one. It's that that decision. So there's a lot of people, I'm sure, listening to your podcast and people out there that are like, man, I want to do something great, and I have this great idea, and they simply can't make themselves get to that decision point. And I'm not talking about the decision like, oh, I'm going to do something. I one of the things that I talk about is, you know, if you want to learn to fly, you know, or you don't make the decision to fly as you're walking up the steps to the roof. You don't make the decision to fly as you're walking across the roof. You don't even make the decision to fly when you're standing on the edge of the roof. You make the decision to fly when you finally step off. And so to me, finding that way to get you to that decision point, that is the most critical thing in any endeavor. You know, going from, I really want to do this, I think I can do this, and then when you finally say, I am doing, not I'm going to, but I am doing this, that to me is it's so liberating, it's so freeing, and I wish that everybody that was around me could find that in themselves, because I think there's greatness in every person. I think that there isn't one person that was meant to live an ordinary life. I think there's something extraordinary, and it doesn't have to be a business. It could be a charity. It could be helping people out. It could be anything, but I really feel that every person has the extraordinary in them. They just need to make the decision to activate it. And I, that would be my biggest, and I know that's a huge topic, but that's my, sure. that's my advice is find that way to make that decision and go for it. So.
That's powerful. That resonates so much. That's the tagline I have for the podcast is Crafting a Life Worth Living. And that's kind of the whole premise. And I wholeheartedly agree that I feel like every single one of us is made for something. And I hate to use the word epic because it feels so overused, but we're made for something massive and we have the capacity to accomplish it.
Yeah, so, we do. We were created to do amazing things. And that, again, it doesn't have to be something that somebody else thinks is amazing. Yeah. You know, it just has to be from us inside. So I hope every one of your listeners finds that and does it for sure.
Definitely. I'm trying so hard. Like I want to dive back into that, but that's such a personal decision. It's such a personal tipping point that I'm just going to leave it alone and let listeners take from it what they need to take from it.
Yeah. And maybe we can do this again. You know, as you and I had talked about, we have, I have a podcast, you know, called Dare to Be Different. And it's very similar to yours. You know, we're just trying to help people live an extraordinary life. So maybe we can join forces again in the future and talk some more about, you know, some of these topics. Cause it needs to come out. You know, people need this in their life. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I would absolutely love that. And dive into some of those. So much of what you've said is resonating and is things that I've talked about myself and wholeheartedly agree on. So those conversations would be amazing for sure. Before we wrap up, where can we find you? What's the best way to get in on that podcast and follow you there?
Yeah. So, first of all, our company is flexscreen.com. So if you want to find out about the unsexy world of window screens, you can see us there. If people want to check out the Shark Tank episode, I think it's still on abc.com or, you know, you can look it up. It was season 11, episode 10. So you get to see me, you know, try not to throw up in front of all the sharks, which was a bit of a challenge.
I can imagine. Yep.
And then our podcast is called, like I said, it's called Dare to Be Different. You can find it on all of the, you know, all of the usual suspects as far as podcasting goes. And you can also check us out at joealtieri.com, which is my name, joealtieri.com. So, which is really weird. So, you know, the vanity URLs are a little bit strange for me, but we've had so many people interested. We're like, oh, let's just make this easy. So,
yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Well, I really, really appreciate you joining me again. Thoroughly enjoyed the conversation. Would love to pick the conversation back up again sometime.
Yeah, my pleasure. And thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored to take, half an hour of your listeners' time. This was a blast. Thank you so much.